All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Maddie Juice. What's going on, everybody? Episode 95, creeping in on the triple digits. How's it going, Tommy? What's on the menu for today?
Oh, on the menu for today, we're going to be drifting a little bit. We're going to be talking about the game The Drifter by Powerhoof and Dave Lloyd. It's out on Steam, Switch later this year, $19.99, but 15% off till the end of the month. So, got some time to get on that release deal. It's a pretty story-heavy game that we touch some story-heavy games, but this is probably the most, I think, and, you know, we're going to approach it like that, and hopefully not any spoilers or relatively spoiler light for those interested in playing the game. So we'll be getting to that. We have a little bit of news, and then I have a little quiz for Matt. We'll do some listener questions, and then maybe a rec room. We recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game, but first, before all of that, we have to catch up. How you doing? What's up? How's your weekend?
Yeah, doing good. On Friday, let's see, I had a little half day at work, which was nice, because we had a doctor's appointment to go to. Then we headed over to Red Bank, New Jersey. Shout out to Red Bank.
It's where I was born. Well, actually, no, I wasn't born there.
Where I wish I was born.
Where I wish I was born.
and
my mother's maiden name is no.
Yeah. So we went over there, ate some good food, and went to a creamery over there that's like all vegan, which is good. They have like a bakery too. Just checked out, you know, some of the town. It was a hot day, so we weren't there for that long. And then on Saturday, I know we saw each other, and it was our baby shower. Not mine and yours. My wife and her baby shower. So that was fun. It was a good time. Showed up kind of towards the end. Did a little game there with her, and then got to see everybody. So that was a fun time. And yeah, honestly, we just spent like a lot of yesterday unloading like a bunch of diapers and stuff and like books into the room, figuring out where we're going to put everything. And we found spots for everything. So that's good. And then today, yeah, just honestly, like I'm exhausted. So I was just hanging up some stuff in the nursery, hanging up some stuff behind me. The listeners might see week to week, it changes behind me. it grows. So I've added a few more things, which is kind of cool. And I've got some more stuff I got to put on the walls, even just like out, you know, that the camera can't see. Just kind of getting ready to start streaming again, too, and making content. I've been away for like a month or so. I haven't really done anything other than the podcast. So excited to kind of hop back on that and just getting ready for a little baby. So it's just I'm exhausted. I'm just like, is this how I'm gonna feel all the time? Probably.
You'll be rejuvenated and filled with like nice restful sleeps. Don't worry about it. It's all gonna be good.
But yeah, you know, it's funny because like our dog, like Pluto, he'll wake us up, you know, early, and I'm just like, it would be nice to just like fully sleep in. And like last night I was like, this is great. Like we kind of went to bed a little earlier because we were just exhausted. And then, you know, at like 4 or 5 in the morning this morning, just the loudest thunderstorm possible happening. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Like I thought I'd be able to get a little extra sleep, but no, literally it sounded like they were on our roof, like just like with like cymbals and just like a kick drum and just like, you know, the lightning looked like it was coming in our room and out the room. I was just like, Jesus, like this is ridiculous. So, you know, it's just the universe has a good sense of humor about that stuff, but
prepping you.
Yeah.
Just getting you prepped.
Exactly. Yeah. But how about you? How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. You know, well, flashback to last week, right after the podcast, or not right after, the day after we recorded last week, got to play some Flesh and Blood with our other cousin, which was really cool to see him play a little bit and kind of enjoy it. Friday, I went to go see a movie, which I'm going to be recommending at the in the rec room. And then, yeah, just hung out with you on Saturday for the baby shower. You know, keep you some company while they did the regular baby shower stuff. We went to a brewery, got some lunch, had a few beers. Yeah. And then we went up after the baby shower. We went up to a 60th birthday party up in like way North Jersey. That was a good time as well. Just really just good person that was turning 60 with like a great family. It's just like good, a lot of love there, which is always nice, and like a lot of people. And then what do we do after? Well, I mean, today I woke up nice and early. I had to record an ad for my other podcast, Fresh and Buds, to be on a league, like a YouTube series for Rainbow Pitch, which is a gender minority league. So sponsoring them, they're like, hey, give us an ad. And I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, so I did that. What else did I do? Oh, and then I played a lot of The Drifter today. And, you know, it just, did I have a good time? We'll see. But I am ready to talk about it. But first, we have some news, biggest news ever. Psh, psh, psh. We got a Discord. Check it out. It's in the show notes below. It's a great way to keep up with the podcast, interact with us, interact with other listeners, and talk about indie games. It's a good time over there. Please check it out. But it was a slow news week for video games. Or at least indie games. So, I have a quiz for Matthew.
Ooh.
What is the quiz on? What do you think it is?
Is this the quiz?
No, this is not a question. I mean, it is
a
question.
It's on indie games. So,
related to.
I don't know. You know, it may be, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going in blind.
I'm quizzing you on the number one indie game podcast out there, Fresh Juice.
Okay.
What you know about this podcast.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Five questions.
All right.
First question. How many chess-related games have we reviewed?
Oh, boy. Too many, I'll tell you. I'm going to say four.
You would think it was four. But from my digging, I think it's only two.
Only two. So we had Chess-O-Rama.
Yes.
I know it was one. And then what was the other chess one?
Checkmate Showdown.
That's what it was. Yeah, I think the thing was that we reviewed those close-ish together, so it just seemed like a lot of chess going on. So, wow, yeah. You know, maybe we got to revisit the chess genre, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You
want
to see what's, you know, I mean, they were such big hits for us. Yeah. Love them.
You know, there is a game out there that I do want to play called Pawnbarian that's supposed to be pretty good, but, you know, that's been out for a while, so it won't be like it would have to be like a retro review. But,
yeah,
you would think it would have been more chess games based on how we felt at the time. It seemed like it was just chess game after chess game, but it was only two, actually. Yeah. And that's just, how the cookie crumbles. Second question. Now there's two right answers here. Which game is the biggest gap in our scores at the end?
Oh boy. The biggest gap.
Do you want to hint?
As We Descend?
Okay, As We Descend is a correct answer, yes.
Okay, all right. There was another one a while ago. Yeah. What was that one?
Anima Flux.
Okay, Anima Flux.
And you were higher on Anima Flux, and I was higher on As We Descend. Now, we've only had those ones are the biggest gaps, and they're tied for two, like, ratings in between. We haven't had the full, I guess, three ratings in between, right? Like where one was certified fresh juice and the other was a spoiled mill. But we've had two that were you know, two away. I gave certified fresh juice to As We Descend. You gave it an on sale. No, you gave it. Oh, you gave it an on sale.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah. And then for Animal Flux, I think you gave that a steal, and then I gave it a manager special.
You gave Animal Flux spoiled milk. Yeah. I gave it on sale.
Yeah. So actually, there is one more level of like gap that we can hit. Like if I gave it a spoiled milk and you gave something a steal, or vice versa. So
I would listen, if there was ever a game where one of us was like, this is certified fresh juice, and the other person was like, this is spoiled milk, like that, it would be so interesting to know why we feel that way. Uh-huh. Like I couldn't even think of like what genre that game would be,
mm-hmm.
where like we would feel that strongly, but it could happen. You never know. Maybe today.
Maybe today. I mean, it's kind of funny because sometimes I wonder, like when I'm playing a certain kind of game and I'm really enjoying it, I'm like, man, mm-hmm. I'm not totally sure if Matt will enjoy it, but you know, it will have to happen at some point. Maybe not.
Yep. See, the thing is I try to go in with an open mind anyway, because like I feel like the part of this show is that I want to try stuff that I don't normally play anyway. Mm-hmm. And I've found that I've loved a lot of games that I wouldn't normally have played. I don't know. It's hard for me to be really like critical on a game that's outside of my normal genres, unless like it's really just not hitting on like every pillar. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Good question, though.
Question number three, which game is our only double spoiled milk rated?
Is it Oh Dear?
It is not Oh Dear.
Oh, it's not Oh Dear.
It is not, because I gave that one a manager special, I believe.
Oh, okay. Is it Beyond Citadel?
It sure is. It sure is, which I believe is still overwhelmingly positive on Steam somehow.
Yeah, we know why.
We know why. we definitely know why. This one's actually, this one's like a little, not left field, but which is the third game we reviewed ever? I think it would have been easy to guess the first two, but the third is kind of fades into the memory a little bit.
Hold on a second. I can get this. Oh my God, what's the name of it? Did we give away copies of this game?
I actually don't remember if we did.
Mm.
So
I'm blanking on the name.
The first game we ever reviewed was Cocoon.
Cocoon, yeah.
The second game we ever reviewed was Pizza Possum.
Pizza Possum, yes. Okay.
And then we reviewed this game in question. And then after this game was Wizard with a Gun.
Is the game in question a... what's the genre? Can you give me a genre?
RPG.
RPG. Yeah, I know the game. I can picture the game. I just can't think of the name. All right, just tell me.
It was Space Wreck.
Space Wreck. Yes, we did give away keys to this.
Okay, yeah. And we both rated it on sale. Yeah. Or an on get a free key. But yeah, that one fades into the memory for sure.
Yep.
So your first certified fresh juice was Cocoon.
Yeah.
For question five, what was my first certified fresh juice?
Your first certified, it was, all right, hold on. I'm not looking at the list of our ratings. Oh no, this is not a good list. Can I look at a list of our videos and try to guess from there? Or do I need to remember?
You gotta remember, because I think this one sticks out. This one does stick out.
Well, it's, how many episodes in was it? Can you give me, or you don't know?
It was under 10.
Under 10 episodes in. Oh my God. I don't remember. Baltro? Is that in our top 10?
No, I don't know if it was episode 20, but it was our 20th game we reviewed.
Okay. Your first certified fresh juice was in the top 10. It's not the first three. I know that.
You know it's not the top first four.
What? Give me genre. Yeah.
Like kind of Metroidvania-y action, okay. Adventure. A little story heavy.
Not the cub. I don't know.
Leica. Tell me.
Leica. Oh, yes. Leica.
That was our fifth reviewed game, actually.
Yeah, wow. You know, like thinking back, I'm like, that wasn't that early on for us. That's like how I think about it. I'm like, yeah, that was probably like our like 30th episode or something like that.
It was in our second month, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Leica.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. The Motorvania.
Yeah, that game was awesome. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah, very cool story and art. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the quiz, you know.
That was good.
Yeah. You know? I figure, you know, we're getting close to episode 100, which I know we'll probably be switching some stuff up around then. But, you know, this is episode 95, so I just wanted to, you know, just see how you're doing with our history here.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious. Maybe some of the juice heads out there knew some of those answers before me.
Maybe.
Oh, let us know in the Discord or in the comments if you did. But yeah, I got to freshen up on our fresh juice history there, because it's honestly, I mean, we're doing it every week, right? So it's like we played a lot of games, 95 games. Well, more than a little bit, actually.
Yeah. I mean,
technically with demos.
Yeah, it's 82 reviews we've done. Okay. But then, like, there's demos that we did.
Yeah.
But hey, listen, it was, it's a good run so far. Now, it's time, I think, to talk about the Drifter.
Yep.
A pulp adventure thriller, a murdered drifter awakens alive again seconds before his death, hunted and haunted, help him untangle a mad web of conspiracy in this fast-paced point-and-click thrill ride. Holy smokes.
Ooh.
You hop into this game. This is by Powerhoof, as I said, known for a game called Crawl that we both love. We didn't review it because it came out quite some time ago, but it is an interesting game for us because we haven't done any point and clicks that I can remember. I don't know.
No, I think this is our first on the show. Yeah.
So hop in. I played on the Steam Deck, I should say. So this is also has the ability to play kind of twin stick, which is how I played it, and it actually worked out pretty well. And I don't... You played on desktop, right?
Yeah, desktop for the whole thing, yep.
So you'll be able to speak to that. So you hop in, you are on this train, you're this character, and Carter, his last name. I forget, what's his
Mick.
First name? Mick Carter, yes. Yep. So you are Mick Carter, you're on this train, and you're like, oh man, like... What's the deal with this guy? He's headed... We'll talk about the story, but he's headed back home to, like, go to a funeral. You don't know what the funeral is yet, you know, initially. And you start just exploring every room area you're in. This is, like, classic point-and-click stuff, but with a little bit more dynamics, I would say, where, you know, there's some timed things. It's not really timed, but, like, essentially timed, where you have to do things in a certain order and wait for certain things to happen for you to get through these, like, essentially puzzles that are happening throughout this story. And yeah, it's a pretty straightforward way to play. You have, like, an inventory with different kinds of items that you pick up, and you can also combine items to, like, I wouldn't say it's a full crafting system. It's more like a soft crafting system where, like, if you need to just combine something to make it something different, to use it to solve something, you can do that. So, yeah, you're kind of going through, trying to keep this spoiler light, going through. You're going to get dropped into certain areas, and you're going to have to figure out what's going on, talk to different people, find different items to try to figure out how, what, is going on, right? There is something going on here, something a little weird. You know, and this is not really a spoiler, it happens pretty much in the beginning. You're almost killed, you're almost shot, and you don't know what's going on. And a lot of these homeless people in this city are kind of going nuts or getting abducted, and there's definitely some kind of conspiracy going on, but maybe they think it's you, maybe not. There's also going to be some things they're going to deal with in terms of, like, your past. But in terms of the gameplay, though, you're kind of going through, unlocking stuff, using different items to figure out what's going on. And, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. The thing that stood out to me compared to other point-and-clicks I've played, like, over the years, don't play a lot of them, but it did feel a little bit more dynamic than your classic, like, putt-putt or whatever. You know, it's just like, well, obviously it's going to feel more dynamic than, like, a children's game, but, like, it felt, yeah, like a little bit more immersive, I would say, you know, because I think that these games can be pretty straightforward sometimes, but this one felt super immersive in the way you play. You're kind of sucked into it, and, you know, you're given a lot of options of things to, like, interact with, and yeah, I enjoyed this gameplay quite a bit. You know, it's not something I would play normally, I don't think, but there's a lot going on outside of the gameplay that would have actually drawn me in no matter what. Personally, knowing Powerhoof made it definitely intrigued me initially, right? Because, like, Crawl is one of my favorites. I'm like, well, they're doing a point and click? What the heck is that going to be about? So that was kind of interesting to me. So overall, really enjoyed the gameplay for what it is. You got to be into this kind of thing. You don't have to be into this kind of thing. You got to be willing to play this to, like, kind of see what it's like to play a fully realized adult point and click adventure. So yeah, I enjoyed what I got to play here.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, this is not my normal genre. And, you know, I think a lot of what happens outside of, like, the gameplay elements is part of the reason I enjoyed the gameplay. And we'll talk about that sort of stuff. But I thought that this game, you know, when I think of point and click games, I think of a lot of, like, tedious tasks that I have to do, or, like, a lot of things to click on. And as the listeners know, I'm not really, like, someone for, like, a lot of dialogue in games. Like, I typically like to kind of skip through it, but the gameplay in this, I found that every area I was in didn't have, like, too many things to click on. Like, you were very much, you know, understood of, like, okay, I'm done in this area, and based on what the character said, like, I need to move to the next area to figure out something, and then maybe I'll have to come back to this area depending on, like, what was there that maybe was kind of, like, left unsolved. But I appreciated that, like, there's just not, you know, too much kind of going on, and, like, I don't need to and we'll talk about the art style as well, but, like, I don't need to click on every single, like, pixel to be like, is this something I can interact with? And, you know, again, we'll talk about the art, and I think a lot of what we'll be talking about, like, is a reason I did like the gameplay. There's also, you know, since I did play on PC, I know it probably worked a little bit differently on the deck, but you can kind of see it on the screen right now if you're watching on YouTube or on Spotify. They have this kind of, like, they don't even call them quests. I think they call them, like, topics, because you can use them to talk to other, like, characters that you meet. So you can say, you know, oh, I witnessed this thing that happened. Let me talk about it with this person. And, you know, maybe that person doesn't kind of push the story along, but they at least maybe give you a little bit of a hint of what to do next. And then maybe there's another topic where that person can give you more information. So I like the topic system, and you just kind of scroll your mouse up to, like, the top left, and it slides down. It shows you all the topics. And then when you're talking to somebody, it'll also present you, like, all the topics that are there. Then, like you mentioned, there's kind of this inventory system that's, like, it's not really like crafting. It's, like, more like combining items together in order to, like, use them for certain things. Like, just as an example, you create like a Molotov cocktail at one point. And so you have to combine the items in order to do that. You know, I won't spoil kind of when that happens or why you need to do that, anything like that. But I thought that that system was kind of cool because it didn't really, like, at least from what I remember, didn't really like explain that too much. I think it kind of like, you kind of got the idea of like, okay, I can sharpen this item with this other item that I have. But like combining more than two items together so you can use it was like not fully explained. And I thought that was cool. Like I felt like I discovered like how to do a few other things and how to progress the story. So it felt like very rewarding with that system, but it's also just like pretty simplified across the board. Yeah. So I thought that that was pretty well done, the way they handled the inventory system, the way they handled kind of the topics. And then they kind of just like, you know, there's kind of a narrator sort of voice. And then like, obviously you can like talk to other characters in the game, but they kind of just let you, you know, you point and click around and try to figure out, you know, what you need to kind of do. And it also gets to the point where like, the character, you know, I don't know, there was like multiple times where I would pick up like the knife I had in my inventory and I would just click on like an NPC to see like what would happen. And they were like, oh, I'm not going to go around stabbing people. My character just like kind of said that. So like it's cool that the gameplay allows you to at least try those sort of things, right? It's not just like not letting you click on your knife there because you're like, oh, you can't use your knife in this area. It at least lets you try that. And then it kind of, you know, from the story side of things, like he'll tell you if you can use it or not, or if it makes sense to use in that area. But yeah, as someone that doesn't really play point and click games, and you know, I really love Crawl as well. You know, there are Power Hoof's a reason that I wanted to get into this game as well. I know you had brought it up, but you know, it was a game that like looked really interesting to me, but I still had like some hesitancy, if that's a word, because it is point and click. But after playing the gameplay, I'm like excited to see what other like gameplay mechanics I can unravel as I continue to play. So yeah, I think from a point and click standpoint, it really does feel like more dynamic. Even when like you trigger certain events that happen, it's not just like it's explaining to you what's going on. It's like you're watching like a cinematic of something that's happening. So yeah, it does. It almost feels to me like this is actually like a step above a game like Telltale, kind of, right? Where like maybe you're just choosing like dialogue options, but I don't know. In this game, I really enjoyed you know, the simplicity of the point and click, and it didn't feel like too overwhelming, but it also felt like rewarding because it, you know, in games like this, it has to feel like you've discovered something, right? Or like you have to just feel rewarded. And I thought it did a good job of doing that. Now, I'm not super far into the game. I'm like, you know, probably close to like 2 hours into it. But so far, really enjoying it. And I definitely want to play more just because of the gameplay elements. I want to see kind of what unravels. But I know the big thing here is the story. So we're going to talk about it, like you said, spoiler light, but yeah. What did you think about the story in the game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this story is, it better be good, right? Like, if this is what, you know, this kind of game's going to be, and I'm happy to say I think it really is. I don't know, I think there's like 8 chapters. I'm in the 4th or 5th chapter right now, so not quite finished, but like, you're kind of unraveling more and more mysteries and this great conspiracy that's going on within this like this world that they built. And it really feels like a classic like late 80s, early 90s, like pulpy kind of film, right? Like there's like, you know, like I don't, there might be dirty cops or something like that, but like, you know, there's something going on, and it kind of feels like the world's against our main character, Mick, and it plays out in such a interesting way that kind of introduces these elements of supernatural, and you don't really know because this main character could be an unreliable narrator because it's kind of played through his voice, his perspective, the whole game, right? And he's clearly like not a, I wouldn't say he's a good dude, but like he is a drifter, right? He is somebody that, you know, doesn't really stick around in one place for long. You know, he's revisiting his hometown because somebody passed away and he wanted to, you know, can't come back and pay his respects. And, you know, that's when all this stuff starts to happen. But, you know, you don't know if this supernatural stuff's real or not as you play through. And then there's also the kind of the notion of being haunted by his past kind of coming here, representing itself in other characters, and basically just really, really just builds out who Mick Carter is and was, and who he's going to be as well. And I think that it's a really well executed, like, kind of mystery, dark, gritty story. And I'm excited to finish it because it's really, I mean, that's the beauty of these like point and click games. It's like you're playing a movie, right? Like you are, yeah, are doing the movie thing while playing a video game. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. This world that they build is like pretty calloused in a way to the homeless population who are like kind of suffering from whatever this conspiracy is. And it kind of plays into the nonchalance of the non-homeless population that, you know, you're trying to get help from. And that's why you have to kind of piece together these kind of puzzles and, you know, ways to find out what you need to do. Like, you know, kind of these like essentially character obstacles that you need to kind of overcome. So I think that if you really like kind of like John Carpenter style, like movies, and, you know, it even has like some kind of Escape from New York vibes as well. Just like this, this is not like a safe city. This is like a scary place with like devious things going on. So like you really feel the direness of getting through this story. And the mechanic of the game where you're often every chapter usually placed in a situation where you can die, right? And if you don't do things in the right sequence or in the right amount of time, and, you know, you restart back from like a checkpoint every time it happens to like try to figure out what the right sequence is, it does feel a little bit more like, I really, it's got to figure this out. Because sometimes when you get stuck in something like these kinds of games, you're just like, I'm clicking everything to see if I can do it. But this, you're like, I know what I have to do, right? This is like a relative spoiler, but the first thing that you have to overcome, so if you don't want to listen, you can skip ahead, but the first thing you have to overcome is you're like, you've been thrown in like the water and you're tied down. And you got it's like basically like mafia style, just like you were thrown with a cinder block tied to your feet and your hands are tied and you got something over your head. You know you gotta get your hands free, and then you know you gotta get your legs free, but you have to do them in a certain order or else you're just gonna continue to die. So there's a timing aspect to it as well. So like it definitely plays into the direness of what's going on, but it makes the immersiveness of the story, I think, a little bit better because of it. But what was your take on the story?
Yeah, no, I just first about that like kind of dying mechanic. I almost felt like, you know, they intend for you to die in order to figure things out in the game. Or at least, you know, there's even other things that you kind of come across in the story, like an area I'm at right now that I'm just trying to figure out where like the area just kind of keeps like resetting itself. And it's like, OK, well, I didn't do what I needed to do in order to progress. So I need to figure this out. Like, what am I missing here? Or what is the order of things that I should be doing that I'm just not? So I think that that mechanic is pretty cool. You know, obviously you can probably get through the game without dying if you're really thinking on your feet and you get everything kind of done and in the amount of time they give you. But yeah, as far as the story goes, you know, it's clear, you know, this main character, I feel like I can't even like trust him, right? Because of like the things that he's talking about. He is a drifter. You know, he does seem like the better person in a lot of different scenarios that you're coming across, but he's definitely, just from his like inner monologue, you know that he's, you know, he's not like the best kind of person. With things that he's done, he's clearly had like a complicated kind of past. And yeah, I don't want to like spoil anything, but I think it's a really interesting world. You know, getting into it, you kind of think at first, at least for me, I'm like, all right, this is going to be like a cliche kind of story, right? And then things start happening where you're like, what is going on in this world? Like this is kind of like, you thought the realm of possibilities was here, and then all of a sudden something happens outside of it, and you're like, okay, this is different than what I was anticipating. And it was just a cool, you know, kind of feeling to start experiencing that sort of stuff and try to unravel this mystery. You know, like you mentioned, it's not a very like safe feeling world. You know, you're spending a lot of time with like, you can even see on the screen right now, like you're spending a lot of time in like these homeless kind of areas. You know, people were thinking that you're homeless, and I mean, you're technically like a drifter, but you know, he says he has places that he can stay if he needs to. Things like that. And yeah, it's just a interesting kind of setting, and I really don't know what's going to happen with the story, which makes me excited to like keep playing it and just kind of see what happens with this this drifter that is you know, getting into, you know, he's kind of, I feel like he kind of like didn't choose for like some of these things to unravel. He just happened to be there, so he's like trying to kind of piece it together. And there's also like someone he's talking to right now is like this like reporter, and there's just people in this story that like make me upset. I'm just like, this person is just an ass. so they did a good job with kind of the balance there of almost just, you know, making it seem like there's more than one kind of like bad guy to this guy. It's not just like what's happening that I won't get into, but it's also just like the regular people that are just like, yeah, just kind of jerks. Like there's a lot of people that are jerks to this guy because like they think he's homeless or because of like how he looks, things like that. And it's clear that this area, this like world, it almost reminds me, I know it's kind of like, seems like it's like, I don't know, inspired by like, let's see, it says 70s Aussie grindhouse, which I, you know, I don't fully know what that is, but I can get that kind of from like, you know, playing through this. But it also gives me like Gotham vibes too, where I'm like, this is just, there's like no law here. Like there's just crazy things going on. So yeah, I don't want to get into like, it would be easy for me to talk about like specific story things that happen, but I really think this is something that like, if you're into point and click games, like you should just like experience this story without, you know, any spoilers. So I don't want to get into any of that. But yeah, the main character is interesting. This is the scene that Tommy was talking about earlier, by the way, where you really start to understand you need to do things in the correct order, otherwise you die. So that was interesting to kind of figure out. At first, I actually thought that dying was part of it, like part of the story, you know? And I'm like, oh, like I'm being revived. Like there's something up with the drifter, and he is like, he has this ability to kind of keep coming back to life. And it's like, no, I just wasn't doing things in the right order. But you know, yeah, you never know what could happen. But yeah, I enjoyed the story so far in the game. I want to unravel more of it. But yeah, very impressed, I'll say, overall with like the things that happen in the game and the way it makes you feel and the kind of like, ah, aha kind of moments or like, what the hell's going on moments. It's bringing a lot of that just within the first few chapters of the game. So they definitely did a good job with that.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, if you're watching the YouTube or the Spotify right now, this screen grab that is on the screen is a great representation of the visuals and how we're going to feel about it, because boy, oh boy, does this game look good. I mean, this is a fully realized, pixelated, like, work of art, right? Just every single environment you go into just looks so good. I think the interactable, I mean, from what I played, it's like this person is clearly playing with with the mouse. But I was playing on the twin stick on the Steam Deck. The wheel that you use to like interact with stuff looks good. Everything's really clean. You know what it's doing. It's not super detailed with the items, but you're just like, well, I know that's a knife. I know that's a handkerchief, whatever. And just the character design's so cool. And these environments are just so well done. Like, really creepy, dark. You know, what I was thinking about the whole time is, like, honestly, like, I want to beat it, but, like, it would be kind of cool to revisit it in October for, like, Halloween. Because this is, like, such a creepy story and, like, and just vibe. Like, it just is such a interesting way to, like, kind of experience this world. Because it's just so, like, detailed in, like, an impressionist kind of way. And I don't know. I really like how the game looks, and it, which I'm not surprised. I mean, they did Crawl, and Crawl is just as cool, you know, pixel art wise, and it's just it's a good time. But what would you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, it's just so impressive, like the amount of depth and like intrigue, and like the kind of horror elements that they have with this art style. It just looks fantastic. There are things, since this is point and click, there are certain things where I'm like, oh, I didn't realize like this was like a cup of coins, right? Or like whatever the thing is. But once you kind of figure that out, you start to, you know, it's not really like a big deal. The whole idea also of point and click is to like figure out what you can interact with. So, you know, there were just certain like small things where I was like, oh, that's what that is. Like, I easily kind of glossed over it. But what they do that's great, and, you know, forgive me, since I don't play a lot of point and click games, I don't know if this is how it is with like a lot of them, but based on what you're hovering over with your mouse, your icon changes to let you know how you're going to interact with that item or that area. So, you know, you can search through things. There's just things you can just generally interact with. There's things that just kind of let you know you're going to be moving to the next room, things like that, that also help you kind of figure out, you know, what you should be trying to do in a certain area, because there's a lot of interesting things on the art side, but not everything you can interact with, you know. So, but there are things. Like, almost everything you hover over will at least give you a little bit of a description of what that is. So I thought that was cool and, you know, kind of tied into the story element as well, but also just like a cool idea on the art side to be like, we made all these really cool assets. You're not going to be able to interact with all of them, but if you hover over certain things, we'll at least give you a little bit of a description of what this is or why it's here. So it kind of helps piece the story together a little bit, or at least gives you a little bit of context in the area that you're in. So, I enjoyed the art like tremendously. I think it looks fantastic. A lot of really interesting areas. It's even to the point where like some of the things, you know, I know I mentioned before, like some of the small things you like maybe gloss over the first time, but then when you go back and kind of recomb through, you start to catch them. But even some of the larger things, like for example, there was like a sleeping homeless guy in one of the areas I was in. And I didn't realize I could interact with him at first, but then I realized that I could. And I was like, you know, from the art side, like, I bet this was like kind of intentional, right? To like have, like, you not realize that there's a person there, just because I know in, like, real life, that's happened to me before. I'm like, oh my God, there's like a person like there, you know. It just, it kind of, you know, don't want to, I'm not trying to be like harsh or anything like that, or just being like, oh, I didn't notice there was a person there. It's just sometimes you just don't realize. And this game also has that in the art. And I think like that sort of stuff was intentional. And I think it just adds to like the intrigue because of the art, where you're like, oh, this is, there's like hidden things here that are more than just people. There's like a lot of different things that you can interact with that maybe you didn't realize you could, like a crack in the wall or a brick that's in the wall kind of oddly that you can end up taking out and like things like that. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the art in the game. I think everything, the UI, you know, the way that like they deal with text, where like, you know, if it's his inner monologue, it's on the bottom of the screen. But if you're interacting with a character, it's just showing above the different character heads. Sometimes it's even different colors. I think all that is just really well done. So you never get confused of like, is this guy actually saying these things or is he thinking these things? So yeah, everything from the art side, I really just like had no like overall complaints about what they did. I mean, I know we love Crawl. Like Crawl is such a really like really cool looking game, but it's also one of those games where like the first time you're playing it, you're like, what is going on? Like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be looking at. And then as you do like a few more runs, start to realize, you know, these are the things that you should interact with. These are like, you know, your ghosts and stuff that you're collecting, those little like orb things. And I think that this game is like, it almost feels part of the same universe in a way, just because of the art. So yeah, really impressed overall with the art style here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you kind of hit like the point of like the homeless person, maybe like kind of blending into the background in a way, or just like, kind of personifies like the overall arching themes. Right.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Now, in terms of the sound and music, well, first we'll talk about the music. I think that just a good overall score kind of really sets the tone here. It's not, you know, it doesn't take away from everything else, but the real winner is the voice acting, right? This is a fully voice acted game. I believe Mick is, I think we have it here. Mick is voiced by Adrian Vaughn, who's been, or Vaughan, or maybe it's just Vaughn, but has been working in video games for quite some time. Just really the star of the show here is definitely Adrian's work, but the other characters are well voiced as well. And, you know, I think that's pretty impressive. I find sometimes that voice acting in games can fall a little flat, and I did not find that at all, especially with Mick's character. It really definitely helped him come to life in a lot of ways. So, but yeah, I mean, do you want to play some of the music real quick, or even the voice? I wonder if he'll talk.
The brick wobbles as I clawed it with numb fingers. I lever the brick out, small cavity behind.
So there you have it. I mean, just great. Just the Australian accent. I mean, I'm assuming it's Australian or Kiwi, but like just so thick, but like really makes the game feel very unique in a lot of ways. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, really enjoyed the sound design and everything that's going on with the voice acting.
Yeah, same here. You can hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. You cut out for a hot second, but you're back.
Yeah, for some reason our recording software popped up and it was like, your mic is disconnected. Like, no, it's not. Anyway, so with listeners, you probably didn't hear anything, but yeah, no, I agree. Like, the voice acting is really, like, the star of the show here. I mean, mixed voice actor, Adrian, just, like, yeah, it just does such a great job of, like, you know, making you understand how he's feeling and like the attitude he has behind it. It just, yeah, really helps to kind of shape this character, and also makes it so that you're like, I don't know if I fully trust this guy. And it's not just because of the accent. All right. I trust Australians, okay, or Kiwis. I'm not saying that, but, no, I think, yeah, the voice acting is great. Like the sound design and everything is good as well. It helps like tie the story together and makes for like intense moments and kind of this like dark kind of feel, you know, when you're in certain areas. But the voice acting, you know, especially like in a game like this, like the story needs to be good and like the voice acting should be good, you know, if you're having voice acting like a point and click, because that's really like where the a lot, you know, the emotions coming from. Like you can try to convey that in text, but like you need to have a really great voice acting crew to kind of deliver that emotion. And it just sounds great. It really is making me want to just like keep playing it. Like this is another element where I'm like, I just want to figure out like what's going on with this guy. And the fact that, you know, it's just the voice acting is just done so well, I think is a factor in me wanting to continue kind of playing that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's great. I don't really have much more to say in terms of the music, because it really is just a voice acting kind of, you know, showcase here, just really well done. And even the side characters, like you mentioned, like some of them that you come across that are either like a really annoying or like pretty friendly, or even like there's some funny moments. I know like one of them, you're trying to like get into a certain place, and like I ended up just like breaking the window of the place with like a brick. And before, like, I was like, I don't know if this will work. I'm gonna see, because usually when you try to do something like that, at least from what I played, they're like, oh, like that's not gonna work. And when I clicked on the window with the brick, he was just like, fuck it, and he just like broke it through the window. I was like, oh, that's funny. I thought that was pretty good. So yeah, it makes for some funny moments too. But yeah, really well done.
Yeah, and you know, coming around to round out the review, performance wise it definitely worked totally fine on the Steam Deck for me. Probably wasn't as I guess clean as probably playing on desktop, but it worked totally fine. I didn't have any real issues, and I had no real issues about drops or anything like that either.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, no issues whatsoever. I mean, it's a pretty well-optimized game. I was interested to hear how it would run on Steam Deck, since it is point and click, so it's good to know that you know, it ran pretty well on there and was, you know, easy to control. So yeah, no issues from my end at all.
Cool. Well, that's gonna bring us to our final rating. Our rating system is as follows: Certified Fresh Juice is the top tier. These are your Balatros of the world, your Leica Aged Through Bloods of the world. A steal. These are really good games, maybe not the cream of the crop, but games that we definitely recommend and you'll have a great time with. These are things like The Cub and some other great additional, or Leica if you are Matt. that was one that we differed on. Get on sale. These are games that perhaps could use a little bit more polish, or, you know, maybe a little bit too high price for what the experience is, but certainly not a bad game by any means, but just maybe wait for it to go on sale if you're going to be interested in it. These are games like Wizard with a Gun and Hellskate. Manager's Special, these are games that specific kind of genres that we couldn't really see the vision, but maybe if you're into that, you'll like it. But we typically would wait for it to go on a deep discount or free to play basis or something like that. And then D tier is your Spoiled Milk. These are games that we don't recommend for anybody. Matthew, yep. What are you giving the Drifter?
I am giving the Drifter, and this is without finishing it, I'm giving it a Certified Fresh Juice. All right. It's firing at all cylinders here. And really the thing that solidified for me is just how well the story has been told so far with the voice acting and just general, you know, kind of storyboarding. It makes me want to play more. I want to unravel the mystery. I think it's a cool idea to like maybe revisit it in October for Halloween. I saw in one of the Steam reviews, someone was like, finish this game during a thunderstorm was the best experience of my life. So yeah, it definitely is just so well done. And, you know, it's crazy to me that I'm like giving a certified fresh juice to a point and click game, which is a game, you know, a genre I don't play, but it really just does deserve it. So I'm giving it a certified fresh juice. Great job here. And can't wait to play more.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you, actually. Certified fresh juice for me, because this is just so well done. Very impressive game. It's a very small team, Powerhoof, and I think it's the perfect point and click game that anybody can enjoy. I think that's like the biggest thing. I think maybe some hardcore point and click fans might be like, the puzzles aren't, you know, this or that. But like for me, I enjoyed the discovery and the journey of kind of figuring out how to do these things. Yeah. And, you know, the voice acting was so good. And the story was being told in a really unique way. And it's kind of like a genre that I like, a genre of story that I'm really into. So very impressive game. Happy to kind of get something like this, you know, on our, you know, review cycle here, because it was a nice palate cleanser, I think, from a lot of the other games we play, and was a pleasant surprise as well. So excited to see what else Powerhoof comes out with. I know there is one game they're working on called Acid Knife that they've been working on for a while. I mean, this game has been kind of in development for almost 8 years or something like that. So
yeah,
definitely shows, but cool stuff. Next week, we got Hell Clock, which is very exciting. Something we played at PAX and we really enjoyed. So we'll see if we still enjoy it. And we got some listener questions. First one comes from Bags, who asks, what game or games do you always say you want to replay but never do?
Oh, I mean, there's probably a lot that go into this. A game that I want to replay but never do. I mean, I've mentioned like Dark Souls 2 I'd like to go back to and replay. I never beat it, so it's kind of in that category where I've beaten all the other ones. I'm like pretty much all the other ones at least, and I might as well go beat that one. I'm just looking at my list of games here to see like which ones would I want to go back and play. I know, Bags, we've talked about going back and playing like Gears of War, which I think we'll probably do now that they're doing the Gears Reloaded or whatever. But yeah, game I want to go back and play through. I mean, if it's not a story game, there's a lot of games on that list. Grounded is one I want to go back to, but Grounded 2 is coming out. I don't know. It's a lot. I could list a lot here, to be honest. There's games where like I'm like, oh, I've never played this. It's an older game, like Super Mario Galaxy. I started playing again when I got a Steam Deck, and I haven't gone back to like continue it, but I was having a really good time playing it. So, but now we got Donkey Kong. So I'm like, I don't have enough time for all the games. What about you? You got anything in mind?
Breath of the Wild, Hollow Knight, probably are two that come to mind right now. For sure. There's always games that I want to go back and play, but some that I do end up doing is usually like Pokemon Blue or something like that. And Ocarina of Time, those are games I do end up revisiting. Loop Hero I've revisited. So, but Breath of the Wild is one I definitely want to hit again. And Hollow Knight for sure. Probably should do Hollow Knight sooner before Silk Song comes out. But yeah.
Yeah.
But
great. Yeah. And I have like a category on Steam just called Play More, where I have like Animal Wells in there, Ballionaire, even Questmaster, Windblown, I enjoyed playing. I know we covered that. You know, so there's games in there that I'm just like, one day I'll just remember that I have that category and I'll go back and play some of them. But
it's smart though.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, it's smart to have the category, but I need to actually play more of the games, and then it'll be a smart idea to have it. But Yeah. Yeah. Noida as well is on that list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a game I feel like I really need to dig into and just like experience. Capullo comes in with a pretty funny question considering what we reviewed today, but Capullo asks, do you think that indie games are forced to be only a subset of video game genres? We see so many roguelikes, survivors, for example. We don't really see a lot of sports and or tycoon, etc. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there is certainly a, not a push, but like there is a correlation between indie games and certain genres. But we just played a point and click that was great, right? And I think that it, like, the thing is, we're always going to hear about the games that people want to play, right? And if there is genres that are popular, we will see those indie games be more popular and just get more buzz. I don't think that's necessarily the case that all of them are that, but it's definitely, if you want to make money, you know, doing it, you got to make something that people want to play, you know, whether you agree with it or not. You know, you could be the world's biggest point and click adventure fan. And I mean, how many do you get like that are like good? Maybe one a year if you're lucky. So it's just not as big of a genre. So yeah, I don't think they're forced to do it, but it just makes sense that the genres that are popular do well.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And I also think, like, I mean, people are bringing up, like, roguelike, survivors, you know, obviously very popular. I do feel like indie devs, a lot of them, also, they want their games to be, like, pretty replayable, right? Like, that, you know, it gets... I just feel like maybe sometimes with like indie games, you know, they have the initial kind of surge and then maybe they just kind of taper off. But when you have like a roguelike or a survivor-like game, you can have a new update, right? And people can come back and the content can be fresh. Like for this game, like The Drifter, you know, unless they come out with like a big story expansion, like they're probably not going to get another surge of like game of people playing it like they would around launch time, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless there's, you know, maybe a huge creator or something that like promotes it and plays it or whatever it might be. So I think that's like a part of it as well. But yeah, they're really just, you know, I don't think they're forced to be like doing a certain genre. It's just like probably they're thinking from like a business standpoint, it might be like better to do that sort of stuff. But I also do think that like sports in particular, it's interesting you bring that up. That is something we're starting to see more of. Like I know Rematch came out recently. People really like that game. I think that's technically indie from what I remember. Oh no, it is. It is indie because it's from the Sifu devs. Mm-hmm. So I could see, you know, sports games kind of coming back a little bit. I mean, obviously Rocket League's a really big one. But it's also like the sports, how many times can you like switch up the sports formula, right? Where it's going to feel fresh and get more people to come in and play. Tycoon games, I'll be honest, I've never really played like much of the tycoon kind of game. So I don't really know like what the big hook is there. But I know people love them. So, you know, it would be cool to see more of that. But yeah, I don't think indie devs and indie games are like forced to be like a subset of genres. It's just kind of what makes sense currently at the time. You know, when battle royales were really popping off, we saw a lot of battle royale games from like indie kind of studios, right? And a lot of them didn't work out. And now like roguelike and like survivors likes are a big thing. And you know, I predicted a few, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that like extraction shooters would probably be the next big kind of like thing similar to battle royales. And we're starting to see a lot more of those come out. So there's always going to be a wave that they're going to want to follow, but I don't think it's like, you know, they feel forced to do it. It's just they're trying to get a lot of people to play their game, right? So you got to kind of cater them a little bit, but it doesn't mean that great games aren't still coming out. Like, The Drifter today, you know, the majority of people don't even know about The Drifter, I'd imagine, right? But it still doesn't mean it's a bad game or that the dev shouldn't have made it. Like, it's a great game. So,
well, now our million listeners know about it.
There we go.
Thanks for the question, Capullo. Next comes from rcarp11, who asks, would you rather have eyes that could film everything or ears that could record everything?
This is a good question. I probably would rather have eyes that could film everything, just because I feel like, well, first off, you got a built-in dash cam when you're driving. Right. Mm. And otherwise you're just listening to music and that's being recorded. I mean, both could be really useful, but I'm probably going to go with eyes that could film everything. Cause you know, like you just went and saw a movie. I know you might be talking about it soon. You could just tap back into that and rewatch it whenever you want to, you know,
I'm interpreting this question as that you can only like film the things you're seeing, but you don't get the sound.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Otherwise, why wouldn't you choose
to
film everything with your eyes, right? So,
yeah.
So, like, if I saw a movie, I would, it would just be silent, right?
Hmm. I would probably still choose film everything. Because maybe I could be a really good detective, you know, or something like that. But it's a tough one. I don't know. What are you thinking?
So I think maybe film, but also like record, like is could be really useful, I think, actually. Because then you'd actually be able to go back and be like, okay, this person did say this, and then they told me to do the other thing. And then you just like play them recording and you're like, actually, you told me to do the first thing first, and that's why I did it, or whatever.
True.
I think that I would probably do that, but I think that the problem I have with the film thing, when I'm thinking about, like, I don't get dizzy from my eyes moving around, but I think I would get dizzy watching the film of my eyes looking around at stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm not just looking straight ahead all the time. Like, I'm moving around. So, yeah. I think I gotta go ears.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Then you can relive every concert you've been to.
Exactly.
There you go.
Pretty cool. Boom. And you get to hear it like you heard it. Because, like, if you get, like, a video of like a concert and you go back and it's like, that doesn't sound like it felt, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a good one.
But let's go down to the rec room. I'm interested. I see a note for what yours is. I'm just in my head. I'm hoping it is literally the thing that it says, but I'm sure it's something else. What are you recommending for us today at the rec room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game?
All right, so it is definitely not like exactly what it says. So I wrote down sunshine/moonlight. I'm not just recommending like getting some sunshine, go out on the moon. No, it actually, since I kind of have been moving a lot of my stuff back into my office here, I've been trying to rethink like how I capture gameplay. And like I have like an old capture card I use that like I've had like issues with in the past. So I came across this way to do that, to essentially capture gameplay on two different computers. But this is really not like the main purpose of this. So essentially, a lot of people might know Moonlight. Moonlight is a free, like open source program you can get on, like you can get it on your phone, on your computer, on like smart TVs and stuff. Essentially, it allows you to like game stream from like Steam, right? Like directly to your TV. So you don't need to use a Steam Link or whatever, or like you might have even done this on your Steam Deck at some point, but you can actually stream from Steam on your computer to your Steam Deck. So you can like, it can use your computer's like hardware instead of your Steam Deck, right? Mm-hmm. Which is good like when you're around home and stuff like that. But there's a kind of like a sister program with it that's also free. It's called Sunshine. And it's a self-hosted game stream host for Moonlight that's like super low latency. So essentially what you can do, and I just recommend people like if you're looking into like game streaming, like just look up Sunshine and Moonlight, like on YouTube. I'm sure there's a million tutorials on how to set that sort of stuff up. But the way I'm using it, which is kind of interesting, is I have Sunshine installed on my gaming PC, and on my streaming PC, I have Moonlight installed. And basically what I'm doing is I'm just streaming everything that's on my gaming PC through Sunshine to Moonlight so that I can capture it in OBS. And it's like literally like low. You would think I'm using a capture card, but it's all just going through like internet. Wow. Like just because I'm like hardwired in. It's just really cool. And like the normal use for like Sunshine is like, yeah, if you want to, you know, install Sunshine on your gaming computer or your computer, and then install Moonlight on your phone, and then you can like stream like The Drifter right to your phone, and you can play on your phone, you know, like, or you can stream whatever you want to on your computer. So yeah, I don't know. It's really cool. I found like a tutorial from this streamer that I'm a fan of, Gathalion, and he was kind of showing how you can use it in a two PC setup. And I'm like, let me give this a shot. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, it's all free and open source, and it's just the community made this sort of stuff. And now I can like capture my gameplay at the same resolution without any issues, rather than dealing with like this capture card that I have in my computer that the computer doesn't fully support the capture card. You don't have to worry about any hardware stuff. So if there's any content creators out there that are like dealing with that sort of stuff, Sunshine and Moonlight, really awesome free programs that just super easy to use. I didn't have to like configure a bunch of things. Like I literally just installed it and like changed like two things in the configuration, and then like it just works now. Yeah, it's cool. Check it out. You know, Sunshine Moonlight, if you want to do any game streaming for free, you don't need to buy a Steam link or subscribe to any game. There's a lot of game streaming services out there. You don't need to do it. You can just host it from your computer and just moonlight it up. And I've used Moonlight in the past, but I never knew they had this other thing called Sunshine. And actually, that's how I was. I played 33 Immortals like on my TV downstairs through Moonlight.
Oh, that's cool.
Because it's on Epic, so I couldn't use it like through the Steam link or whatever. So, like, I opened up Moonlight after not using it for a long time, and like I see 33 Immortals is like my last played thing in there. I'm like, oh. I forgot I use it for that. Yeah, anyway, check it out. Sunshine, Moonlight. Also, feel free to go outside, get a little sunshine, a little moonlight, too. That's probably good as well.
So they say. That does sound pretty cool. I'll have to look into it because I should probably, like, I don't know. This is like, this mess right here is just a Frankenstein's monster for sure. I'm recommending Superman, which I saw on Friday. Not a perfect film, but it was a very fun film. And, you know, I am not like the biggest Superman guy. I'm a Batman guy, obviously. You know, it's Coke versus Pepsi, you know, with Batman versus Superman. But I had heard some good things. I was skeptical, like, when I first saw some trailers. But I was like, oh, maybe they finally pulled out. This is James Gunn, the guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy, Firefly, stuff like that. And really just actually was good. It was fun. The guy, David Cornsweet, who plays Superman, I felt like really nailed the Boy Scout kind of mentality of Superman that we hadn't had since like Christopher Reeve. And the story was, you know, it was fine. We got some cool other characters, these side characters like Mr. Terrific and, you know, Green Lantern, Hawk Girl, you know, show up as well. So it was good. I think like you just had like a lot of fun. It's a great popcorn movie, right? And I think that's just how these superhero movies should be. I don't think I should have to watch 10 other shows or whatever to understand what's going on. And I want to go to the movies, watch a game, like not a game, a movie, and just be like, that was a great experience. Can't wait to, you know, hopefully see another one at some point. So shout out to Superman, you know, you're really doing it. So check it out.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. I'm also not the biggest Superman fan, but I hear from you and I've heard some other people say that it's good. So I'll have to Check it out soon.
Check it out soon, folks. Another good episode in the books. You can find me on Blue Sky and other platforms at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Check that out. It's about the card game Flesh and Blood, TCG. You can find us on all platforms at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials, Twitch, YouTube, all that sort of stuff. And hopefully I'll be making some content soon.
Yes, yes, yes. And with that, we're going to drift off and juice off. You know what I'm saying?